My name's Nick Hill. I work in the Marine and Freshwater International team at the Zoological Society of London. ZSL is an international conservation charity working in 50 countries worldwide. And one of the projects we work on, and one of the places we've done a lot of work, is in the Philippines, where we run a project called Networks. Networks is a really exciting initiative, very different and a lot of fun for us to all work on. And the objective of Networks is to turn old discarded fishing nets in the central Philippines eventually into carpet tiles, which I put on the floors of people's houses and offices in different parts of the world. So discarded fishing nets are made from nylon, which is a form of plastic that is very high grade plastic. So it's an engineering plastic and it has a lot of uses. It's quite valuable. It's used in fishing nets, particularly in its purest form, and also in carpets in its purest form, but it's also used in computers, car tires, all sorts of different things. When it's used in fishing nets, then those fishing nets are often monofilament fishing nets, which means that they catch on things very easily, so they catch the fish very easily. But the trouble is they get damaged after a bit of time, and after 2 or 3 months these nets are damaged and ripped and they don't catch fish as well as they used to. So at this point the fishermen often throw the nets away. In places like the central Philippines, which are in rural remote communities, very poor communities, they don't have access to the same sort of recycling and waste management services that we do in UK. So most of the time people just throw them on the beach or just dump them in the sea, which is a real problem for the environment. The plastic can last for up to 600 years before it degrades. And then during that time, if it's in the sea or on the beaches, then it can continue to catch and ensnare marine life, which is a process called ghost fishing. So it's called ghost fishing because these nets catch the fish, and the fish die, the crabs die, and they rot. But they don't actually have any benefit for any of the people. So it's reducing the fish catches of the local people and really having a negative impact on their income. Now this is very bad in these contexts as well, especially in the Philippines, because fish catches have been decreasing for a long time. So people's income have been decreasing for a long time. Now many of these places are heavily, heavily overfished. So any additional pressure, such as ghost fishing, is really not very helpful. So it doesn't just have a terrible effect on the environment and the marine life in its lives there. It also has a very negative effect on the local communities and populations that live there and depend upon that marine life. The fishes in the central Philippines that we work with are completely dependent on the sea. One way or another, they mostly for fishing, but also they do some seaweed farming and other activities in the sea. This has a serious negative consequence for them. Ghost fishing isn't just a problem in the Philippines, though, of course. There's also a problem all around the world, in all the oceans of the world. And large commercial scale fisheries also use nylon nets. And sometimes those nets can be lost at sea, where they can continue to catch, out in the deep sea, where they can continue to catch fish. We're not working with that directly ourselves in the Networks project because we're focused really on the small scale fishers in developing countries. And the thing that really makes our project different is that we set up community-based supply chains to be able to collect nets off the beaches and out of the environment, and also to get nets from the fishers after they have finished using them so that they don't throw them into the sea. So the fishers can sell their nets to community groups that we set up, and then the community groups aggregate all of those nets, make sure they're clean and tight and nice, and then they sell them to us as one group, and we sell them on to we send take help them or facilitate them reach a market, and those nets actually go to Slovenia, where there's the only recycling plant in the world for nylon. So that's not something that they can easily send their nets to directly without our help. So we set up these kind of community groups who can do the buying within the communities, and we use a system of community banking. And that means what we do for that is we help to organise small groups of people of 10 to 25 people who meet every week, and they save some money together. So they save money in a lockbox. which is relatively secure for them, or very secure for them. And they put money every week into that box, and then over time, as that fund builds that they are putting money into, they can start to lend that fund to each other. And that provides a really important service to these in these communities as well, because they often don't have access to any sort of financial services. So it can be very difficult then for them to manage their finances at all, and very difficult for them to access funds when they need to, for example, when they want to send their children to school, or they want to invest in a new activity, or they want to kind of improve their house or repair their house. So these community banks serve an important function in themselves for the communities. But from the perspective of networks, they act as the focal point. So rather than us having to go around all of the communities and all of the people and try and buy the fishing nets from individual people, which would entail a lot of cost, the communities do it themselves. And that means we can pass on a much higher price to the to people in the communities. So they benefit more from the process. And it also means that it gives them a higher incentive to go and collect the nets off the beaches and clean them. A very interesting part of the project is that the material that we create through this, because it has been pre-processed by the communities themselves, is some of the best material that even the recycling plant in Slovenia receives. So the group of people that do the recycling themselves are a group called Aquafil, who have pioneered this great recycling method. So they can turn fishing nets into raw nylon. Then Aquafil sell the nylon to a company called Interface, and Interface turn that nylon, that raw nylon, into carpet tiles. And that gets distributed all around the world. So they've just recently launched a product called Net Effect, which incorporates the nets, and will incorporate the nets from the Philippines. It's not a huge volume of supply compared to the amount of net that they recycle globally from commercial fisheries and others. So we have collected so far, since we've set the project up last year, we've collected 11 tons of net, which is a lot of net. It takes up a huge amount of space. But compared to all the commercial scale fisheries where the nets are very much bigger, they're a lot heavier, they can get more like 3,000 or 4,000 tons of net a year. So it's not a huge component to it yet, but it's very important, because it's helping to really remove some of this damaging material from very fragile environments and fragile ecosystems. So that's a very important thing from a conservation perspective, and it also helps to has a positive impact on the livelihoods of these people in these communities. So we're operating now in about 25 communities in the Philippines. There's been about 900 people engaging in this in the project over the past year. So we've only been operating for a year. And it's really exciting to see the sort of positive response that the communities have had to it.